Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance weekly conference call on Friday, the 28th of February, 2014. It's 7.08 UTC. Let's have a roll call, please.
Good morning, everyone, from myself, Petya. So far today, we have two apologies from two participants that won't be able to make the call. Those are David Maher and Michelle Nawon. The people already on the call are the following: Alain Bidron, David Fares, Evan Leibovich, Nara Shajwani, Merlin Gates, Oliver Swemmer, Oliver Crepin-Leblanc, and from staff, as usual, we have myself, Petya Minkova, Renat Duov, and Alexandra Downs.
Thank you very much, Petya. Is there anyone we haven't mentioned so far who's on the call? I'm not hearing anyone either virtually seeing someone put their hand up or anybody shout out. So that's the roll call. Let's adopt the agenda. We've got four points. We've got the action items review, and then we'll just be spending most of our time just looking at the draft, basically, contributing, drafting, and finally with the any other business. Are there any additions or amendments to the agenda? I was going to ask, if Marilia was going to be on the call for a quick update on the Net Mundial, but unfortunately, as Marilia has sent a note and has said she might not be able to make it. At that point, if she does make it on the call, I was going to suggest that we ask for the last 5 minutes of this call. She lets us know the latest on the Net Mundial. And I was also going to suggest that if anybody is still following the One Net discussions, and I know that some people are, increasingly hard because there's just such a volume of discussion on there, but it would be good if we could also have 5 minutes on the OneNet for someone to let us know. I know Evan Leibovich has put his hand up. Evan?
Hi. You're
on the floor.
Thanks, Olivier. I just wanted to ask, I don't know if this is even the appropriate place for this, but I know that the deadline, I believe, is the end of February for people to actually indicate their interest to attend the Brazil meeting. I have mine in, but I actually have no idea how I would actually get there. Is there any way possible to ask ICANN if they can provide any kind of fellowship or any kind of assistance to ICANN community members who are capable of backing up and defending the multi-stakeholder role in ICANN and to be able to support some of us to go to Brazil and be there? Because if I go there, I think I and other community members can certainly do a good job helping to advance the multi-stakeholder model. On the other hand, I'm not going to be able to get there on my own dime. Is there any allowance being considered anywhere within ICANN for this kind of accommodation? Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Evan. The quick answer is I have no idea. But I don't know whether staff has any knowledge of anything being cooked at the moment. I was hoping there might be some senior ICANN staff like Sally or someone who would be on the call.
Okay, it's Renata. I will raise this
with
Sally later today, and I will respond via email to the mailing list.
That would be great, yes. I mean, I think that's valid for all of the people on this working group. Obviously, we're all putting a hand into this, and I think apart from maybe a handful of people, no one else really knows at the moment whether there's going to be a selection, how the selection will take place. But I guess that's outside our own hands. But certainly finding out if there's some kind of funding to go there made available by ICANN and what kind of selection there will be for that is an important thing. In the meantime, what I would ask everyone, though, for the record, actually, because there are people who will be listening to the recording, hopefully, is that you all register just in case. And except, of course, if you don't want to go to Brazil. but I think it's important to give good numbers in case. It's rather better to have an upper number than a lower number of people wishing to go there. Okay, let's then adopt the agenda. Let's move to the agenda item number 2, and that's not that low. And I think we might need to take the sync out. Are you able to scroll through the agenda, everyone? Through your own scroll bars?
Yep.
Ah, okay, that's good. Thank you for this energetic reply. So, action items, 21st of February 2014. That's the call last week. There were 2 action items. The first one was a correction of the CIR title, which became Critical Internet Resources. And the second one is for select a representative from the GAC for the meeting planning team.
Petia
or Renate?
I've sent reminders again, and this time I send them personally to Tracy and Heather. No reply from their side.
Okay. Would you be able to maybe email GAC support? Because I know that at this around this time they're probably absolutely overflooded with requests and things. So if you could email the GAC support people, so Jeannie.
Okay. I will send it to Jeannie.
And just to remind them kindly, because we do need someone on that. Is there a first meeting of the team set up very soon?
It's Marilyn. I just initiated setting a doodle up for next week, I think. Petra, you saw my email yesterday?
Yes, Madeline. I'm going to send the doodle link right after the call for that.
Yes. I'd like to make a comment about GAC interest. I'm here with a number of GAC members, and there's not been a lot of visibility because of other challenges. So I have talked to and the vice chair from Switzerland is here. So I have taken the opportunity to talk to him about our work. So informally, I think he will be bringing it up with the other vice chairs and Heather as well as something that is of interest. So I didn't ask. All I did was to explain it to him and to urge him to raise it in the vice chair discussions with the staff and with Heather. So no change at all to anything else that is being done by the staff, Olivier, but just for the record, I thought it would be good to take this opportunity to make it more visible.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. Thank you for doing this, and thanks for taking the making use of your time usefully in Geneva. Okay, so effectively, let's just hear back from the channels, and hopefully your colleagues and governments will have actually also asked the GAC chair on who's going to be delegated for this. I mean, it's just for the meeting planning team, really, and it's for completion. If the GAC doesn't send anyone there at the end of the day, we're not going to be able to push it in a specific corner. But it would be good to have that cross-community element in the planning for Singapore. Let's move on. Let's go immediately to the bulk of this call today. And that's, of course, the drafting of this document. I must say I'm on the one hand quite happy to see that it's starting to take shape, but on the other hand still a bit worried about the number of sections that we still have to fill. Thankfully, the document has now moved over to a Google Doc, which Leon Sanchez started, and he originally just opened it to the few people that were in connection with him for drafting a few parts of this document. But then it's been open to absolutely everyone now, anybody who has the address. If you don't know the address, it's on the agenda page under Google Doc Draft Working Space. And I invite you all to open it and to have a look at the document. Are you all able to do so?
I don't know that I can. I will keep working on it, but just move ahead. I have a challenge where I am.
Okay, What I was going to ask basically was that we all open the document and we start looking and reading through it effectively, go through the sections and evaluate where we need to add more text and actually have a look if everybody here has read the text, if there are any comments or points that people would like to make on this. We have about 40 minutes for this, so that's a long discussion on that. Are we all okay? So I'll tell you what I will do now. In order to be able to work on this, I will stop sharing the document, and I'm going to start sharing my screen.
Olivier, this is Evan. Just to be sure we're on the same place, the one that I've got has at the top of the document, Draft Internet Governance Brazil Meeting CCWG Submission Consolidated. Is that the one?
Yes, that is indeed the one.
Okay,
the last edit was made by Marilia Maceo.
Okay, thank you. I'm there.
Okay, excellent. So are you able to see the document at the moment on the screen? I'm sharing my screen now, so you should all be able to see this.
I have on my computer screen the same screen you're sharing. Okay, good.
Okay, excellent. All right, so the introduction, I guess, nobody's really made very much point to change it. It's quite short. It's quite straightforward. I don't think there should be very much discussion on this. But since we're not such a large number of people on the call, and I'm also scrolling through that document now, since you can see my screen, I would suggest that anyone who wishes to say something, just shout out their name, and I'll be able to call upon you. Internet principles, so we basically have the two parts, part one, which is internet principles, and part two, which is the internet governance evolution. And so on the internet principles, we've got a definition of the terms we're using. Does anyone have any comment on the format, part one and part two, bearing in mind the submissions are divided into two pieces. So part two will be submitted on one side, part one on the other. Some of you might be concerned of the 10,000 letter limit. You might have heard that now it's 50,000 characters. So we're well within the maximum size possible for the contribution as well. So that's one less worry as well. I don't hear anyone shout out. So let's say. Let's see the terms first. So what is ICANN? That still remains to be...
So, Narecio.
Hello.
So,
go ahead.
Narecio, can I...
Go ahead, Narish.
I'm finding there is one very important piece which is missing in the document, and that is actually a reason for the entire discussion and deliberation. That is related to disputes. See, what I mean out here is, and I must clarify that somewhere multilateralism being advocated by the people are talking about transparent and democratic mechanism which shall be created where governments are on equal footing and they may carry out their roles and responsibilities in international public policy issues pertaining to the internet and public policy issues pertaining to coordination and management of critical internet resources. Now, this leads to somewhere, a possibilities of disputes. And if we bring that issue dispute, it actually is bringing a law of land or where the dispute will be resolved. And I think that is more of a reason of all discussion than we talk about whether it is a multi-stakeholderism or a multilateralism or other aspects in terms of a corporatization or internationalism. My suggestion would be we shall not run away or we shall not dilute it or we shall not take it casually that how we bring that which law will be applicable. And I think that is where the discussion has to be in this paper also. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Naresh. Do you have an idea of or suggestion as to where you would put a paragraph on this? Would you put it in the definitions or would you put it in the in part two?
This part has to be brought in the paper.
I was just going to ask for clarification, if I could quickly, about what exactly he's seeking. Yeah. Is he asking for a paragraph to define how we address conflict of law issues?
Naresh?
I second it. Yes, I agree with you. And then we have to bring which law? The entire legitimacy of paper becomes very useful or not will only emerge from where we are able to say openly that whether a law of land will be U.S. or somewhere else or international courts, because that is what actually is the deliberation and the debate. I think we can hide behind the phrases between and the differences between multilateralism and multi-stakeholderism. I don't think anybody has a problem on that aspect. People are having a problem over that tomorrow if I have a dispute, which court I have to go for? And I think we are not facing it, and I'm sorry, once in the last meeting, I was put on a mute because there was some disturbance from my side, and I tried my level best to express this at the time. And I'm sorry if it is late, but this para of a dispute resolution is important.
Thanks very much,
this
Naresh.
This is David. Can I weigh in on that suggestion?
Go ahead, David, please.
I recognize that conflict of law issues are incredibly challenging. However, I think that is going to be a very divisive issue, and it's actually a creature of a whole, there's a whole host, a whole body of law that has been developed, not just at individual country level, but there's some international agreement about how you can resolve conflict of law issues. And I just think that that's going to open up a very difficult discussion for us because issues are so fact-based. Conflict of law issues are so fact-based. And to be honest, when we've tried to address these issues before as industry or as a multi-stakeholder group, we've also just reverted to appropriate applicable law because it's so fact sensitive.
Dave, sorry, okay. Olivia, Marilyn,
go ahead, Marilyn.
Thanks. Let me see if I can, Naresh, thank you and David for raising this. Let me see if I can, in some cases, what we need to do, I think, is boil things up to a level where we can find agreement because we're representing, we need to represent a cross-community perspective. If maybe we could park the idea that the topic, the issue of jurisdictional issues are a topic of discussion within the ICANN community as it relates to a number of issues. Because in one case, it's a question about contract enforcement of the contracts between ICANN and the contracted parties. In other cases, it is the question of being able to bring an appeal directly against ICANN for a decision that the board took. So there's a range of areas where this discussion, the issue exists, and rather than trying to resolve it, because I think David's quite right, rather than trying to resolve it, perhaps at this point we could identify it as an area that is under examination within ICANN itself and within ICANN's community. I say that I think it's important for us to identify it because one of the things I've seen in the Vint Cerf panel is the idea of having agreements with all, unless I'm misinterpreting this, and I stand to be corrected, and no doubt the transcript will call this to someone's attention, but right now it looks like that panel is suggesting signing agreements even with SOs, which is, I can't imagine. I think David and I would both blanch at the idea that a constituency or an SG would have any kind of legal authority to sign an MOU with ICANN about anything. So, but the question, I think, could be identified as something that is under exploration within ICANN, and there are a range of areas that are covered. I don't see how we could in any way answer it. David, is that, so that's captured Narisha's issue, but in essence, we would only be identify it as a discussion topic or a range of issues that are under consideration within the ICANN community.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. Narish, you have. Well, how does this sound to you?
Okay. I think it's perfectly to park this right now. Let me put this way. Then, definitely, the entire issue is going towards all inclusiveness. See, when we are talking about multi-stakeholderism and we are emphasizing a lot upon it, then the definitely what we are raising is that we are for all inclusive. So if we are for all inclusive, and if we are agreeing that already we have all inclusive, or do we need to be all inclusive? Now, if we need to be all inclusive, then what is the process for all inclusiveness? That part, again, is missing out here. And I'm very sure that can be raised, that once you are advocating multi-stakeholderism and you are saying it means all-inclusiveness, so please confirm whether, first of all, you are all-inclusive or not. In case you are not, please tell us the process. And if the paper misses that part, I think it is another issue which we need to ponder upon. And I'm open whether you would like to park it and discuss later, or we discuss both the issues and try to bring in our paper. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Narish. So hearing the moment how this is forming through, I mean, how this is coming together, I do wonder about the amount of time that we have to try and resolve some very serious questions you've asked here, and certainly questions that I've heard in my community and across ICANN on many an occasion. I just wonder whether part of the discussions that will take place in Brazil, face-to-face with people over there, might even touch on this. And I think that it's certainly worth mentioning it in our paper. It's a very serious point you've raised here, and it might be that we don't have a definite answer on that. And so I would go with the idea of defining the problem or defining the question, but not providing an outright answer on it. I think it's going to be very, very challenging for us to provide an answer on it.
Olivier,
certainly including the question in our paper would be something that I would actually suggest going into the second part, which is the future of future evolution of internet governance ecosystem, making it as because there is evolution of ICANN, principles by which ICANN should evolve. That's Marilia's input on this. And we could put the other principle underneath there, thinking, well, you know, the definition of the model of being all-inclusive, etc. Marilyn, you mentioned you wanted to speak.
Yeah, I'd like to come in on this and support the idea that we park it. And by parking, I don't mean ignore it. I mean we put a placeholder down, and I should put a placeholder down. But I'm going to just speak very quickly. I am of the view that ICANN needs to evolve and enhance itself and not be by its community. Its community is open, and people can come on board. ICANN makes decisions. I'm just going to say this real quickly because it's part of the discussion here. ICANN makes decisions that have technical consequences. And I'm not talking about business consequences to contracted parties who voluntarily become registries and registrars. I'm talking about making decisions about the DNS that affect the vast, affects every Internet user in the world. And so, to me, there has to be a certain amount of engagement, informed participation, et cetera. I don't think all, and I don't want to debate this, but I think it's a debate that has to go on within ICANN. And the strategy panels are identifying proposed approaches to how to make decisions, including the mob sourcing approach that Beth Novak's panel is proposing. So if we could park this discussion, and then what we could talk about is in the CCWG and in our consultation with our broader community, do we think that it is ICANN's communities, which are open, who should answer these decisions, or do we think that these decisions should be taken at external fora such as the Brazil meeting, the ITU, the UN? That, to me, is a legitimate question for us to put before our community.
Thank you, Marilyn. Any comments on this? So what I suggest then is that we don't try and find a solution to this question, Anarish. I am also equally of the view this is a huge, huge thing that you've just raised here. However, we shouldn't be shy of mentioning it, and of mentioning it, I think, in a way as to say, again, this is something we believe is for people in ICANN to work out, for the communities that make up ICANN to work this out, failing that, or is this, maybe that's it, yeah, we could frame it as a question. Is it something for the communities in ICANN to work on, or is it something that should be worked on by some external group of some sort?
So, Narishia.
Go ahead, Marisha.
So my objective is interest of my ICANN. I want my body, my ICANN as body, to be looked very fair, to be looked all-inclusive, and to not just remain limited to technical, because that is another concern of mine. I am finding somewhere advocacy going that we are only technical. Once that happens, then we are saying we are on the Internet, whereas in my viewpoint, Internet is just not any application or one time a communication or a messaging. Internet has become a virtual world. And once it is a virtual world, it has got definitely elements in addition to technicalities. And when we are talking about a domain name, etc., and everything, it is no more remains a technical aspect. So my suggestion would be we shall really bring very forthrightly and very openly that what we mean by a true multi-stakeholderism, what we mean by true dispute resolution, and what we also mean by that when we say technical, it doesn't absolve us from accountabilities which virtual world brings to us. So what virtual world bring to us in terms of our responsibilities and accountabilities, I don't see in the document. Thank you.
Thank you, Narish. Just to follow up on what you've just said, would you say that this sort of input would be fitting under the what is ICANN part? Because that sounds more like a definition at that point now. The concern I have is... the concern I've had
We shall be bold enough to acknowledge that we play not only just technical role, but we play a role also on these subjects. And there is nothing wrong in it. We definitely can say one size doesn't fit all. We shall be open to accommodate the thought line of multilateralism. Thought line. I'm not saying we shall go for multilateralism. What I am trying to advocate out here is that we have to be accommodative for some, interventions which are taking place. And there is nothing wrong in being little open about it. it is better to be flexible at this stage than going to Brazil and becoming flexible or coming under pressure. It will be very apt to preempt all kind of objections which can come, all kind of viewpoints which can come, and we shall accommodate now itself in a manner where my ICANN's interest is not hampered. I can see in this document, and I meet civil society people. I have not given more of my reference on my side because I felt that I am representing address council, and that shall be sufficient. But I must tell you, the viewpoints are hovering around what I have brought in. And intent of bringing this point is to see my ICANN becomes more powerful, more responsible, more sound in their logics. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Naresh. Any comments from anyone else on the call? Short of this, so I think that what you are...
This is David. I was on mute. Can I just ask Maris a question, please?
Go ahead, David.
So Maris, are you asking that ICANN go beyond its limited mission of administering the DNS, the IP and addressing system, and having to deal with issues that might be beyond the technical issues around that system? Is that what you're advocating? Just not 100% clear.
Not at all. But definitely, I'm saying once we say just only technical, then we are missing out the administration part. We are feeling shy of acknowledging that. Somewhere we are feeling by saying technical, we will make our coalition more safer, which I don't believe in it. And that's what I want to say, that of course around technical, there is an administration around it. And we have to strongly advocate that without that administration, without that regulatory framework, it is not possible to undertake technical responsibility and accountability. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should go beyond ICANN's mandate or their framework, but not to acknowledge it, or to camouflage it, or to hide it is also not what I'm in favor of.
Thank you, Naresh. I think I'm getting what you're saying here. So effectively, you're meaning that. And I've seen the discussions on some of the other lists, you meaning that some argue that ICANN just has a technical role, in other words, running of the IANA and running of adding of domain names and this sort of thing, whilst I think what you are arguing is that not only does it have a technical role, but obviously there is a policy development role that takes place at ICANN. And this is the big difference between those who wish to strip ICANN of any policy development and just let ICANN be a skeleton that runs just the DNS and that's it, but without developing any of the policy element to it.
Absolutely, David, sir. Once we say we are running, the word running itself is the administration. We cannot, we cannot say that it is technical. Running is not technical. That would be my limited point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Naresh. So, go ahead, Marilyn.
I just want to say this debate is part of the debate in the CSTD, it's part of the debate in the WSIS Plus 10 review. I would again say, while we can identify the debate, and I had to step away for a minute, there are a very strongly held range of views within our own community. So my comment would be that we need to identify it, but we also should be able to come to a recommendation about where we think the examination and the evolution or changes should be initiated and should be discussed and should be accepted. So I don't think we can in any way get to an answer. I will say it's identified in the drafts of the strat plans. It's in the magical, mystical fifth panel. It's here at WSIS. Have we agreed we'll put it in as a topic, but we're not going to try to answer it because we know it's going to take much more time and discussion and consultation back to our own communities.
That's correct, Marilyn. So it's Olivier speaking. I think the point is that we should have it mentioned in the paper, and probably the best location for it to be mentioned is under the What Is ICANN part, and basically acknowledge that these are very important topics, but at the same time mention that, again, it would be for the ICANN community to work this one out. But in an open and inclusive manner. So it's like defining your own rule about openness and inclusiveness, which is what we're pretty used to do. Marilyn?
Narish here.
Narish, please.
Sorry.
Narish?
Yes.
You okay with the defining the, so effectively framing those questions as saying these are questions that are being dealt with at the moment, but not actually trying to find an answer. I think the solution here, an actual consensus on this and finding an answer to the questions that you raise here is going to require a lot more than just 1 week.
If I could just finish, I think actually it's not what is ICANN. I think what Narish, and I would ask him to clarify, is what is, should its role be? And I think that is... one of the, and because I think what Narish was identifying is something that has also come up in the business constituency, and that is when ICANN makes decisions, I'll use the domain name collisions as an example, that affect the rest of the Internet, what is ICANN's role, what is its responsibility? So I'll be right back in just a minute, but I think it would belong under a title of what should its role and activities be, something like that.
Narish?
So choice is completely ours. We can make a sufficient paper, which is all around on the web, or we really go deep inside and understand the issues and objections which are coming and address them. By being sufficient on a multi-stakeholderism, we may not be able to really connect what others are saying and what we would like to say. I am in no way advocating what ICANN shall be. What I am putting out here is what ICANN is. And we need to acknowledge we have, we have certain challenges and we need to overcome those challenges through this paper itself. Now, for example, when I'm saying, are we all inclusive? We are not. But that doesn't mean that we are not that. We are supposed to be that. We have not been that. So if we have not been that, how we can be? At least if we can bring that in paper, that this is how we can be or how it shall be or how it is or it has not been understood properly or it was not explained properly, that all needs to come. Now at this stage itself, it should not be delayed. If it is delayed, then it comes like an implication of some meetings or implication of the pressure of some groups. It will be better if we can do it now itself. So my submission is that we shall be bold enough to now put it that how it is, which may be sounding like how it shall be. So we have to come out of the fear of that we are saying how it shall be or how it should be, right? But we are out here how we can be. And really, I'm missing words to phrase it effectively, but what I'm trying to say is simple. We have to address these points. Thank you.
Okay, Narish. Thank you. It's Olivier speaking. So what I've done is to put a subheading under What Is ICANN, which is entitled What Should ICANN's Role Be? And I was going to ask you to just produce for us a short paragraph with the way that you'd like to lay it out effectively, and see then with email it over to the group as soon as possible. Hopefully later, during the weekend or something, or later on today if you can, and get the feedback on that on the call basically, not on the call, sorry, on the mailing list, Because I'm a little concerned we're getting stalled with this at the moment, and I don't see a consensus as to which way to proceed forward. But certainly I see that the questions, everyone appears here to agree that the questions you're raising are very important. The disagreement I see is not in the question, it's in the answers, whether there should be an answer or whether we should work for an answer or not work for an answer in the little amount of time that we have. Until the submission, which I remind you is in 7 days' time, so I'm a little concerned about that. But are you able to get some text to us within the next 24 hours or so?
I will attempt.
Thank you, Naresh. Excellent. So, bearing in mind, we will have that, which will come over. Let me just put here. I'll change the formatting a little bit later. Bearing we've got this, then we've got what is a multi-stakeholder model and what is a multilateral model. You've seen the two descriptions. I see that Evan has put some comments now on the side. Evan, do you want to take us quickly through the what is a multi-stakeholder comment you've made and then the next one?
Okay, I hope the comments are pretty self-explanatory. The first one is a simple one. We have the term multi-stakeholder model. In some places it's hyphenated, in some places it isn't. I have no preference.
Good point.
I would prefer to be consistent.
That's from the different authors. Fair enough.
Okay.
What do we prefer? Multi-stakeholder with a dash, without a dash? I think without a dash usually is accepted by the system. Multi-stakeholder is not accepted by the system when it's in one word. And in fact, we've got a dash between multi and lateral for multilateral. So, and that's the second one. Then, what is multilateral model? What was your feedback on that?
My comment there is there's a sentence in the middle saying, due to the closed nature of the process, citizens, businesses, civil society, and technical experts cannot participate directly in decision making of a multilateral decision making process. I simply note that if people want to poke holes in this document, they may come back and say, well, take a look. We had delegations at WCIT and other multilateral, quote-unquote, bodies, and some of the delegations made extra efforts to bring in business interests, to bring in civil society, to bring in various sub-constituencies within the country. While we can argue over the nitty-gritty details of how much authority those various groups have within the national delegations, to just flat out say that these are shut out of the multilateral model makes this particular point open to attack from detractors, is all I'm saying. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is David. If I could,
I've certainly heard this thing, this accusation, or sorry, this answer somewhere. David Farris.
Yes, and actually, I incorporated a sentence at the end of that definition that talks about the fact that some multilateral organizations offer consultative status to stakeholders, and I highlighted OECD as one of them. You know, I should have corrected that sentence because that was just highlighted, because I think that there's an inconsistency between what I added and what that sentence says about it being closed. I think what we need to recognize is that some are closed and some offer consultative status. But both of them are multilateral because the decision-making is ultimately limited to one stakeholder community.
Yeah, thank you. Could I ask you, both you and Evan, to work on trying to express this in that paragraph, because I'm not seeing this explicitly expressed in the paragraph at the moment.
Sure. Sorry, and I'm in transit. I have a meeting soon.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, because there is certainly the point which Evan has raised is clear, and it's definitely a point that I have heard at ICU, for example, where, in fact, it was Toure himself who turned on and said, no, but, you know, we accept input from all stakeholders. Look, so many of our delegations have got civil society with them, et cetera, and that's a very
That's a touchy thing, since, of course, it's down to the individual delegations to find out what their internal rules of procedures are with regards to multi-stakeholderism, whilst others were just a top-down government person that did not even, in some cases, come back to their to its own country to take decisions and things. So that,
you know, Olivier, that's another good point that's not reflected, that delegations sometimes incorporate stakeholders from non-governmental representatives, so we have to probably incorporate that in there too.
Correct. So Evan and David, please, you've both got the login to that Google Doc. Please make the change as appropriate and you know, raise it with the mailing list, or explain your changes in the mailing list if you wish, or put a note on the side just to explain it. That would be fine. Let's move on. We've got a number of definitions which have not been completed. The ASO, CCNSO, and even the GNSO is not explained. We need to assign people to these things. Petya, may I ask that staff gets in touch by private email to, on the one hand, the ASO members, on the other hand, the CCNSO members of this working group, and the, GNSO, we've got a number here. I know these are just definitions. They should be pretty much straightforward, but obviously I think it's better for the people from these respective organizations to be able to provide their own definition. Always better. Evan Leibovich, you've raised your hand.
Thanks, Olivier. In terms of definitive documentation of describing these, as we speak right now, I am looking at the ICANN bylaws that, by and large, do a fairly good job of explicitly saying what these are. If we're going to do something in this document, it's simply to be, a summary or an abstract of the definition that's in the bylaws, but perhaps at very least we could just point to the sections in the bylaws. You know, Article 11 of the bylaws, this is explicitly dealing with the definition of advisory committees and so on. So I'm simply saying that while we have placeholders here, at very least we have the ability to point to the definitive definitions which come directly from the ICANN bylaws. The individual LACIs and SOs can play around internally with their definitions, but this is legally the way they're created and thought of within the ICANN structure. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much, Evan. The hair on the back of my head always rise when I hear about bylaws and things like that, but it certainly doesn't make for very exciting reading. But I suppose you are right. We can have a link to the relevant bylaw location on this.
My point is
I don't think that would replace the actual definition.
My point is, Olivier, is that the various ACs and SOs themselves may have their own vision of what they are,
mm-hmm.
but the definitive definition is that which exists in the bylaws.
Okay, thank you, Evan. So what I suggest then is two action items for staff. The first one is for staff to get in touch with those SOs and ACs that have not provided the definition of their organization. At the same time, for staff to identify the location in the bylaws that describes each one of these organizations, and to just put it as a placeholder in the text that we have on the Google Doc. I'm not sure who's taking the AIs today. Is it Petya or Renate?
I've put it down. I'll take care of it. This is Renate.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Renate. So you're okay with us, because that action item is coming on to you, so...
I'll take care of it. I will. I've noted it down, and I'll put it under my name.
Perfect. Thank you. So then we've got we're going down. Yes, there's also the GAC as well. Definition there, RSAC, and then there is one about the RIRs, the Regional Internet Registries. And then on this, there was already something submitted by Phyllis, Michele, and Tracy. under critical internet resources. So quick question here. Should we move the input that they've supplied, which should we move it here or should we keep it down there? Let me just scroll down. Scroll down to critical internet resources. You will find, there we go. Internet protocol numbers, IPv4 and IPv6, as well as autonomous system numbers are considered as critical infrastructure resources. And that's interesting. Critical infrastructure resources and critical internet resources. We're going to have to find the difference between the two. In the internet industry, and then you had the whole listing of the different RIRs. I was going to suggest that perhaps we just have a copy of that little intro under the definition of RIR so as to just give a placeholder and then say, so put this and then underneath that say we refer the reader to the correct section in part two for a more, for a fuller introduction or explanation of those resources. Are you okay with this? I don't hear anyone shouting out. I guess, am I just speaking to myself at the moment, or am I still on the call?
Oh, I'm hearing you, Olivier. It's just so far.
Oh, excellent. Oh, it just sounds as though I'm speaking into the Grand Canyon at the moment. Just can't hear anything back. But okay, excellent.
There are people here.
So
I just
then
how awake they are.
Great. Well, maybe I'm putting everyone to sleep. IETF, Internet Engineering Task Force, are we okay with the draft that John Curran had added? Now, this is something where John had typed all of this in response to the input which was requested in the IETF itself. And when I read that, I felt it was quite a complete argument about the IETF and the way it works, and felt that maybe it would work here. I asked John Curran for his permission to include it in our submission, and he replied and said that that's absolutely fine, please share. So I don't hear anyone being vehemently against it, and so that sounds that this would work. And then after that, we've got the section 3 with declarations. I'm not quite sure about what name we could use on this. Declarations, arguments, assertions, articulations, expositions. Please suggest something. I thought declarations was going to be quite good. Arguments makes it sound like we're not... we're not looking for a very friendly discussion, but declarations sounded grand enough for it. So we've got technical declarations, as discussed before, 3.1 technical declarations, then 3.2 ICANN governance declarations, and 3.3 internet governance declarations. These were the three parts. Patrick Fellstrom and others have been very kind to put very short, succinct technical declarations as to why a single route is needed, why is a single internet needed, what is DNSSEC, on what principles does it work. The only question I have on those, though, is do we need more than just a single line response? Or do you think that a single line response is actually okay for this? Floor is open. Evan Leibovich.
Thanks, Olivier. I don't think it's an either-or. I think the idea of having a summary of these are the salient points behind what we are declaring is necessary and useful for a quick read. And then underneath, the idea of, you know, asking for what's the whole list, arguments, assertions, articulations. I would actually combine assertions are sort of what I'd call the summary. The arguments, articulations, exposition, I put on the side, I'd call it rationale, that basically provides a more detailed explanation of these things. So I absolutely agree with the idea of these very quick answers that states the point clearly.
and then underneath we give as much detail as we need for the rationale, whether it's a technical rationale, political rationale, or social one. So I to me it's not do we need a short one or do we need a long one. I think it's both. I think in much the same way that, say, ALAC statements are starting to come with abstracts, it's always good to have a quick summary that somebody could scan easily, as well as a detailed explanation for people that need to go beyond it. That's my opinion. I think that would work well. So I guess the answer is A or B, and I'd say both. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Evan. Anyone else? Okay, so I hear no one having a different point of view than yours. So
Naresh,
yes, Naresh, please.
Okay, see, I think we must also bring a visibility to the root server. That is what is being sensationalized, and that's what is being talked about. So if we can be more forthright in talking about it, it will be much more appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Naresh. So I think this could be done if one had a rationale underneath this. So if we have something as follows, we've got why is a single root needed? And so with the one-liner answer that is there, and under that subsection, then we've got a fuller paragraph of rationale that would include discussion in the about the root, well, not the discussion, but that would include the concept of the root servers. That would probably work. Evan, you think that we can have it this way?
Sorry, Olivier, I've got a check mark in the Adobe Connect. This is exactly the right way. Whether you put a short and a long answer under each bullet point, or you put all the short ones together and then do a long rationale after, that's a detail. The way you're suggesting to approach this, as far as I'm concerned, is very good. So, so as a matter of style and formatting, perhaps to put the actual main point of it, and maybe either in bold or italic or something like that, and then to give the rationale that would be longer.
Okay, thank you. And
Naresh,
are there any takers for writing the rationale? And Naresh, please.
My at the cost of being repetitive, but I must say that if we want to replicate ICANN website only, then I think this may be a little, a repetitive job of writing a paper. We must write down what people are talking about, what people want to know, what people are objecting to. So we need to address objections, then we need to mention what is simply there on an ICANN website, in my viewpoint. Thank you.
Thank you, Naresh. So if I hear you correctly, and there, I'm sorry I didn't hear, so some of your words got eaten up by my phone. On the subject of single root, for example, what you're saying is we have to go further than what the ICANN website says about the single root.
We need to address objections.
Objections,
that's
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Objections to that, yeah. Well, but can we then address that in the rationale? Because I think the aim that we have is the same, in that we want to draft a paper that will defend the points of view that are held in ICANN and by supporters of the ICANN model and the single root, etc. But this is something we can put in the rationale itself, and this is where I meant, the arguments, the very fact that these are issues which are going to be asked, with some people coming to Brazil and saying, well, we don't need a single route. In fact, multiple routes is a better system, and we don't need a single system of route servers around the world, because if we have a different system, that would work better, this sort of thing.
Naresh. See, in
yes.
My viewpoint, task given to us is to advocacy, and the advocacy is not what is already available on the web.
Correct,
advocacy
yeah.
is all about how we can preempt, how we can find out what are the issues, what is giving some kind of legitimacy to their arguments. If we can address those things, then it will be more appropriate. I am just feeling, and please forgive me for this, that we are running away from what others are feeling. We are not addressing those aspects. We need to bring very blatantly, very openly, what they are saying and what is the factual situation. We need not to be even for a second shy about our position. We need to be more responding to what they are saying. Why there is an issue on the root server? Why there is a reference to the conflict of interest on the root server? We have to respond to that as an advocacy group. Thank you.
Thank you, Naresh. I don't exactly know how to rephrase what you said. But I understand your point in there. I think it's something that needs to be put in the rationale, acknowledging the concerns that are being put up. The very reason for this topic, why is a single route needed, is the very fact that some are not thinking that way and have concerns about a single route as well. Why are there concerns about a single route? But the thing is, we know that there are concerns about the single route, and we know what the concerns are. It's just a case of putting it in words and entwining it in a rationale. Let's punt this to the mailing list. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you. Could you just drop a note, and that's a very short one, explaining your point on regarding, for example, why is a single route needed? And I'll follow up.
I have done it. Yeah,
go ahead. Naresh.
I have done it on multilateralism. I can easily do it and justify why one root server. I can defend every bit of what we do. My only thing would be, we need to first identify what is it which is giving legitimacy to this entire Brazil meeting by people who are opposing it. Let's lift them out. Let's see what they are saying and how can we defend it. There is nothing which we are doing illegal. If we are not doing anything illegal, our promotions can't be illegal, our advocacy can't be illegal, and once it is not illegal, then we shall go all out. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
But that's going to be a position that will come out in Brazil, though. You know, those discussions are, I'm sure, what's going to come out in Brazil. What is going to be discussed there on the table itself. But let's take it this way, with a rationale, and try and intertwine these concerns in the rationale. I think that would also be a way to direct the discussion, or at least provide guidelines as to the direction of the discussions over in Brazil. One of the things I've seen so far with many of the explanations or the opening contributions is that a lot of people just stick to definitions of things, but they don't actually engage into directing or at least giving a guideline direction regarding what they would like to discuss in Brazil. And this might be the opportunity for us to be able to come out with. I notice we're 11 minutes beyond on the top of the hour, which is a bit of a shame. Time just flies absolutely very quickly, and we've only got one more call, I guess, before we have to bring this paper in. I'm a little concerned we still are a certain distance away from it. Are there any suggestions on this call? Should we have two calls next week rather than one? Maybe a call in the early part of the week and then a final call in the later part of the week?
Olivier, this is Evan.
Evan, go ahead.
Just a suggestion. Considering the compressed time and the technical capabilities of some of the people, especially those on our call, I'm wondering if it might be worthwhile to have something like an ongoing real-time chat, like a Skype chat or something like that. You've got an open Google document, which is an excellent resource. That can be worked on in real time. It doesn't have to wait for the next call. So I'm just wondering if there's certain things that we can do that allow people to work, you know, on their own times, to allow us to do more without having to wait for these sort of, you know, stake in the ground kind of phone call events.
Thank you, Evan. If I understand correctly, I think there already is a Skype chat for the cross-community working group that you've started.
Right, and so I have
somewhere deep into
activity,
your Skype somewhere.
There is, and I can revive it. It's just I haven't seen much activity with it, and I'm just suggesting
yeah.
that it might be a way to deal with the compressed time frame and the ability to work on it and work together on it without having to wait for the next phone call.
Definitely. Please, if you can revive it and kick it into action, that will hopefully be able to bring some more input into this document, and for this document to take a shape a little faster than what it is doing at the moment. But does this replace an additional call next week?
This is Evan. I'd never intended it to replace anything so much as supplement
okay.
time activity.
So are there any objections to having two calls next week? Then this is a rather than a consensus call, I'm asking for an objection call. I don't hear anyone object to two calls next week, so let's proceed forward with sending... God, that's such a short time doodle. If we can send a doodle immediately after this call for that has two dates, basically, a date which would be Tuesday, Wednesday, and then another date which would be Thursday and Friday, which would cover the times for Thursday and for Friday. So we could actually have two calls either on a Wednesday or a Thursday, or a Tuesday and a Thursday, or at least I would say probably the best would be to have one on Tuesday and one on Friday.
Do you have any preferences for the time zone? What time should
time zones, again, let's respect the rotation. And I know that this time it doesn't seem to be very popular. I don't see any many people on the call, but try and go for the other two times.
Okay, so I'm
so
going
one
to
that
put
would be
2 UTC and 10 p.m. UTC.
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
Are you everyone okay here for this? Yes. So let's do that immediately after this call, please, so that we've got enough time and close the doodle, the first doodle, or in fact you can close them both by midday on Monday, 12 UTC Monday. I realize this is a tough one, but we're under really, really short timelines now. So that's one thing, we still have so much to look through. I was going to just scroll, so we've got the rationale. Then this is completely missing, the ICANN governance declarations. We definitely need to have some input on this, and I know we've got enough people who are very knowledgeable in ICANN governance to be able to provide us with some input on this. And then internet governance declarations, we've got the critical internet resources, which is, a very comprehensive paper. Then we've got why is the multi-stakeholder governance model better for the internet than a multilateral model. And that's also that's a short article. Maybe we should expand a little bit on this. And perhaps, Naresh, that's where you need to add some of the points about the openness, inclusiveness, etc.
Thank you.
And then afterwards, we've got our roadmap contributions. And here, Marilia has drafted a contribution there. I must say she has sent it over the night, and I haven't had the chance yet to read it so far. But it's... looks quite comprehensive, and it's got the different points there, and then finally the conclusion. Let's finish this call, and I thank you all to have been on this call. And are there any other business that wish to be added on this?
Just a note that I've woken up the Skype chat. Olivier, you and Renata seem to be live on Skype now, so I hope you've received the ping and the waking up of the group chat, and we'll see where it goes.
Yes, thank you very much, Evan. I have received it. I've seen it on the side of my screen. Anyone else on the call who is not on the Skype chat? Marilyn, David.
You were just informing that a few people have dropped already the call, so...
Oh, so everyone's gone, basically.
Yeah, I can't say who, but most of the people have dropped off.
Okay. All right.
Adobe Connect,
and
the only non-host there left.
It is the 18 minutes past the top of the hour. Okay, well, let's then proceed forward with those doodle polls, and
yeah.
we'll see at the early part of next week, and hopefully we'll have a bit more on the Google Doc by then. And until then, I guess all have a very good weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. So this call is adjourned. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye all.